We've been doing this gig for many years.
Baruch Hashem. And we've had different speakers over the years, besides myself and Reb Shmuel, but we're very excited for the first time. He's making a debut for us, anyway. I'm sure most of you are very familiar with Rabbi Goodman, but he's a little, excuse the pun, a bit of a gem in town.
No.
Sorry about that.
That's a very good...
Director of an organization,
yeah,
a gem.
Yeah.
That's the name of the organization, with a J.
With a J.
And we're very privileged that he's taking time out of his special... is his precious schedule to come to us at this late hour on Shana Rabbah, one of the holiest nights of the year.
One of the holiest nights of the year.
So Rabbi Isai, please give your attention to Rabbi Mordechai Goodman.
Oh, thank you so much, Rabbi Aviv. Thank you so much for being here. It's really wonderful to be here in such a wonderful Choshev Avir. I'd specifically like to thank Rabbi Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel, and yourselves and everyone that was involved in the challahs and everything like that. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here to address you. I know we're on quite limited time, and it's a very choshev thing that you're here, and every moment counts. So I've got several ideas. I thought, you know what, there's seven hakafas, so I thought maybe I could do seven quick ideas, you know what I mean? Like rapid fire, seven ideas, and anything you like, you keep. You know, the more you throw at the wall, they say, the more that sticks. So I've got seven ideas for you, and I want to say that this is probably the most underrated day of the entire Jewish calendar, because we're in the final run of Chodesh Tishrei now, and we're finishing off, this is the culmination of the idea of Sukkos, and here Hashanah Rabbah is the final sealing process of the whole judgment process that we've had so far. And that's why it's such an important time, and it's so choshev. Every moment that you spend now in learning could technically change your entire year. So it's, as we'll learn, so it's an amazing thing that Rabbi Aviv and Haderech and all of his crew are putting on this incredible, beautiful spread here for you, not only to enjoy Begashmias, but also Beruchnias, and that Be'ez Hashem we should all have a good, happy, healthy year.
Amen.
All right. So it's interesting that the sukkah is something that you've had to work towards. That's what the Ari HaKadosh says. You have to work towards it. And in Parshas Emor, where we learn about the mitzvahs of Sukkos, it's interesting that the first mitzvah that's brought is the Arba Minim, and the second mitzvah that's brought in Parshas Emor is that of the Sukkah. So the Netziv talks about this. He says, why is it that the Arba Minim, getting a Priyetz Hadar, and the Tamar, getting all the four species together, is brought first in the Torah, while the Sukkah, which really we call it Sukkos, which means hats or boots, we don't call it the festival of Arba Minim. So how come Arba Minim is mentioned first, which usually anything which is mentioned first in the Torah is more important? So why are the Arba Minim mentioned first, where Sukkah is mentioned second, and we make such a big deal out of the Sukkah? It's a whole Masechta called Sukkos, right? There's not a whole Masechta called Arba Minim. So he says an amazing thing. He quotes from Shmuel Beis Vav Hay, and he says there that when David HaMelech was coming back victoriously after having beaten the Philistim, how very appropriate, so they're at war with the Philistim, and he brought the Aaron back, all of his soldiers were doing something called Mana'anim. They were waving lulav fronds. Because in those days, it was very, very regular that when you came back victoriously from a battle, you would wave a lulav frond. In fact, I was in Ethiopia, and I saw there was a very big dignitary walking down the road, and there were two men with him, and they were waving lulav fronds over him. Not kosher lulav, like more like kind of fanned ones, but they were shaking the lulavim, very much like we do with Ananunim, until he got into his car. And I was saying, to give him the chosher, such a chosher individual, the right thing to do is to shake a palm frond. So all these soldiers were shaking a palm frond. So says the Netziv, the shaking of the palm frond is the idea of a victorious return from battle. Now he says, what battle have we been through? The answer is the battle that started on Rosh Chodesh Elul. I don't know if anyone here has listened to the Yonah Shir. I give a Yonah Shir which goes to the mystical ideas of every pasuk in Yonah. There's 48 verses in the book, and each one talks about the idea of Gilgul, about reincarnation. And it's an amazing shit. It's available online freely if anyone's interested. And it says there that the idea is that there's a three-day journey. Yonah went on a three-day journey to Nineveh, and says the Vilna Gaon, those 3 days were Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, because the Yoneh is reminiscent of the soul, and Ninveh is reminiscent of this whole physical world. And the soul has a three-day journey to get to Hashem. That's Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And now we've come out of Yom Kippur victorious in a battle of our own judgment, with the war that's always raging with our Yetzer Hara from Bar Bas Mitzvah. We're always technically at war. And when we get judged on Yom Kippur, if we come out the other end victoriously, it's only right we should shake lulav to show that we've done such a good job. Then the soldiers from David came home and they went into sukkahs, they went into barracks. So coming into a sukkah is reminiscent of the idea of a journey, while waving the Arba Minim is reminiscent of the idea of being victorious in battle. So being victorious in battle is more important, because we've got to understand we've just come through Yom Kippur. That's a very interesting idea. So the sukkah is really secondary, because I've come from the journey of Yom Kippur, while the actual victory is the waving of the lulav. And that's, the Netziv says, that's why the Arba Minim is mentioned first in the Torah, as opposed to the sukkah, which obviously seems to be the spitz mitzvah of what we're doing. Now, don't think the sukkah is only reminding you of events that we've gone through. It's a very interesting idea. I've got to tell you this. It's an amazing idea. I've been everyone I meet, like, this whole sukkah has been going around saying, have you seen this Al Shechel Kodesh? They're like, no. And I tell everyone, you've got to hear this Al Shechel Kodesh. It's an amazing Al Shechel Kodesh. I saw an Al Shechel Kodesh. Got to share with you, because I'm telling everyone. So I've got to tell you. It's an amazing idea. It says like this. If you look in Parshas Emor, which is in Vayikra, Chof Gimel Lamed Tes, it starts listing out all the Yomim Tovim. It starts listing them out. It says, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And they're described as Chag LaHashem, a festival to God. So Pesach is called Chag LaHashem. Shavuos is called Chag LaHashem. What's Sukkot called? Chag Hashem without the prefix Lamed. There's no Lamed. So the Al Shechel Kodesh says, why is there no Lamed? Chag LaHashem, it's a festival to Hashem. There's no Lamed, it's just Chag Hashem. So that's an interesting, so the Ashach says as follows. It says, what's Pesach about? It says, Pesach is a festival where we remember the fact that Hashem, Baruch Hashem, took us out of Mitzrayim, the Shibud in Mitzrayim, the slavery, the difficulty we had there. We owe him a big thank you. So you make a lovely festival to say thank you, to remember that. What's Shavuos about? Shavuos is about a spiritual redemption. Now that I've got you out of Egypt, what are you going to do with yourselves? I'm going to give you the ultimate gift humanity can be bestowed. I'm going to give you the Torah itself and the jurisdiction to give psak of halacha here on this planet. I'm going to give it to you. That's the most amazing gift. So I'm going to make Chag LaHashem. I'm going to make a festival to Hashem. But he says it's a bit different for Sukkos. He gives amazing moshel. He says like this. Imagine your father or a very close family relative wins the lottery on a double rollover week, and he wins £136 million. And he happens to be life-changing money, right? But he happens to be in America, and he calls you up and he says, I've just won $136 million, but I'm in America. I'm throwing a party. Now, you can't get on the plane right now and get to America in time. So what do? The right thing to do is to make l'chaim. Make a kiddush. Everyone comes over, has a piece of cake or something, and everyone wishes you mazel tov, and you make a little party. You make a party here to celebrate with your father who's done so great in Medina Siyam, but you can't be with him at the time. Says the Al Shechel Kodesh like this. This is my mission. I think it's what I call a worth turning up moment. This is a really important idea. It says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with all the avos and all the neshamas in Shemaim, are throwing a party upstairs. Why are they throwing a party? Because now his children have been cleaned by Yom Kippur. He can justifiably be so close to them and embrace them in the walls of the sukkah. They can literally come into the arms of the Shekhinah. He's overjoyed. He makes a party upstairs in Shemaim. Because there's such a party upstairs in Shemaim, it's only right, just like the moshe with the person who won the lottery, that we make a party downstairs to join in with his simcha. That's why the Torah calls it Chag Hashem. It's Hashem's personal chag. He's enjoying himself. He's got unbelievable pleasure now. He can be so close to his children who have been purified by the whole process of Yom Kippur. He is so happy. The Avos are so happy. The Neshamas upstairs are so happy. We now also show our sensitivity to this by having a beautiful sukkah. Wonderful food, burgers and chips and sausages and tomato ketchup and Fanta, all the wonderful things. That's an amazing idea. So we're being in tune with Chag Hashem. It's Hashem's personal favorite festival. So of course we're going to join in. And this is the spitz of it. Hashanah Rabbah is the best of the best of it. It's all coming to the top. By the way, now that we're talking about the idea of the Avos being happy upstairs, that's why we get the ability to invite them into the sukkah. That proves that we're pure enough to ask Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, unbelievable people, that they should come in and join us. Now, have you noticed there's different ways of counting the Ishbizin? You know, there's two different ways of counting Ishbizin. What's that? There's a way where you put Yosef after Yaakov Avinu, or there's a way that you put Yosef after Moshe and Aaron. Yeah, so Yosef will come just before David, right? I mean, some machsarim, they'll say both ways. You know, you can pick which way you want, how you want to, who you want to invite where. A beautiful idea. So in Yoredeya, this is a halacha in Yoredeya as to what's going on. The Ari HaKodesh brings down this halacha from Yoredeya and says, you know what's really going on here? When you're coming in to make a lay shave, when you're making a lay shave, what does the word lay shave mean? If I make a lay shave basuka, what does that mean? What is lay? Am I eating, drinking? What's a lay shave? To dwell. Now the Machleika says the Ari is, what does the word lay shave mean? There are some who say lay shave is from the word yeshiv, which means to sit. So it's got the din of a yeshiva. And others say no, the lay shave is a din of masiba. It's a din of partying. So it's like this. Says the Yoredeya halachically as follows: when it comes to a yeshiva, there, the seating arrangements halachically must be that the people that have more tyra should get a more prestigious place. In a yeshiva, the greater baal tyra should sit in a more prestigious place from a halachic perspective, and that's Paskin from the Yoredeya. But when it comes to a masiba, when it comes to a party or a gathering, then the one who's oldest, the one who's most senior, should get the most choshev place halachically. Now comes back to understand what's going on with the order of the Ishbizin. If you hold that Leishev Basukah is a yeshiva, the one who's greater in Tyra should come first. And Moshe and Aaron were more involved in learning and teaching Tyra than Yosef was. It's not against Yosef was a Tamil Hachem, but that wasn't his schnitt, that wasn't his thing. But Moshe and Aaron, that was their thing, so they should come first. So if you hold that it's a yeshiv of yeshiva, then you've got to put Yosef after Moshe and Aaron. But if you hold it's a din of masiba, if you hold it's a din of getting together and eating, then Yosef is more senior than Moshe and Aaron, and that's why we would place Yosef before Moshe and Aaron in the order. Interesting idea. So a bit of a side point there, but that's kind of interesting, a little bit, somewhat interesting. Someone's, but look, it's Pesach in Yoredeya. I don't want to tell you. You know what I'm saying? That's an interesting idea. Okay. Oh, another idea. Okay, so we're talking about Leishev Basukah, right? Leishev Basukah. Here's an idea. Leishev Basukah. On Pesach, when do we make an Achilas Matzah? When do we make the bracha of Achilas Matzah on Pesach?
On the Seder night alone.
Okay, on the Seder night. When do we make a lay shave basukah through sukkahs? Anytime you want to go into the sukkah and eat. The Mefushim asked, that's not fair. Why can't we make an Achilas Matzah every time we have matzah all the way through Pesach? Why do I only do it at Seder? Yet by sukkahs, they dafka bring sukkahs. Every time you eat in a sukkah, you make a lay shave. It should be every time you eat matzah, you should make an Achilas Matzah. Does that make sense? Right. That's exactly what you should be doing. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, is everyone good with the question? Yeah. It's an amazing idea. Got the altar of Kalmbrunn brings this. Unbelievable ideas. Amazing idea. It says like this. Let's say you're not at the Seder table. It's Chol HaMoed Pesach, and you want to make yourself a matzah brai. So you make yourself a matzah brai with scrambled eggs and matzah, and you sit down and you eat it. And you have to make a motzi. Why can't you make an Al-Achilas Matzah? It says like this. The idea of Al-Achilas Matzah can only be done if we know for sure you're completely lishmo as to why you're eating that matzah. You have to do it completely for the sake of a mitzvah. Now, generally, you can say the reason I'm eating matzah is because I'm hungry, and I just can't have any bread because it's Pesach and I've sold all my bread and all I've got is matzah or matzah meal or those biscuits which are made from potato flour. You know what I'm saying? You know, like macaroons and stuff. I would eat bread, but what can I do? It's, we don't know that you're 100% lishma. The only time you will be 100% lishma, you're going to be doing it for the right reason. Seder night, which is why we make the alachilis matzah at the Seder. The avada, you're only eating the matzahs at Seder night because for sure you're trying to do the mitzvah of remembering coming out from Egypt. But we don't know every time you're eating matzah over the whole of Pesach, you're only eating matzah to remember you came out of Egypt. Therefore, you can only make an alachilis matzah at the Seder. But how come on Sukkos every time we walk into this? Did you know the Rambam and the Rif, Paskin, that every time you walk in, every time you walk in a Sukkah, you make a leishef because it's considered dwelling. We don't Paskin like that. But if you did do that, you'd have shoulders to rely on. Like, you could hang that on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's like, why are you doing that? I got the Rif and the Rambam, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not so bad. You're like, okay, fine, we'll talk to the Rambam and the Rif about that. No, but that's not how we pass in. But merely walking in is good enough to make a lay shave. Here's the reason. You would never leave your home to go into a flimsy shelter unless you were doing it for the mitzvah of Sukkos. We know every second you're spending in a sukkah must be lishma, which you don't get with any other mitzvah. We know you must be doing it. Therefore, you can even mention Hashem's name in a bracha to say leishev b'sukkah as you're in the sukkah, because we know you're definitely doing it for the mitzvah of the sukkah. Isn't that a beautiful idea? What a beautiful, that means the very avir of being in a sukkah, you're already counted in heaven as you're doing it for the sake of heaven. Merely being in it. You can't say, well, I'm eating matzah somewhere during Chol HaMoed Pesach and I'm doing it for the sake of heaven. Not necessarily. You're just hungry and you don't have any bread. Here, it must be you're doing it for the mitzvah. That's a very interesting idea. And what's so important about residing in a sukkah? A sukkah, as you can see here, it's got beautiful walls, like a tablecloth. The Mishnah Berurah says we should have tablecloths and things like that. Remember, the Aneha covered. But the issue of a sukkah is it is intrinsically flimsy. It's a flimsy structure. And we leave a solid structure to enter into a more flimsy structure. According to the Kabbalah, the sukkah is actually the guf. It's the body. And the yid sitting inside the sukkah is the neshama. Ever had the wind blow on a sukkah? I got an outside sukkah. I got one of those sukkah mat sukkahs. You know, the ones, the material ones. Hear the wind blow and like you, the sach pumps up and it's like, you know, it's like really kind of a fragile structure. The idea is, says the Ari HaKadosh, he says as follows. When the wind blows, it's like the wind that blew around Yonah on the boat. It's physical illness or shocks in the world. And we see that the body inside the guf, the yid inside the sukkah, is quite fragile and quite delicate. And you should have in mind that this world, like a sukkah, is a fragile, delicate place. And it starts retuning you to make sure you understand how your Olam Hazeh is. Olam Hazeh, this world is a fragile, delicate place. And the yid sitting inside the sukkah, a wind comes through and goes, "Ooh, I feel the wind a lot here, sitting there with a coat on, stuff like that, and it rains in and you can feel it." It's fragile. So too, that yid should realize this world is fragile. I'm fragile, but I'm trusting in Hashem. By coming in here, being able to make a leishev lishma, I'm showing tremendous emunah despite the fact of the fragility of this world. When we leave the sukkah, at the end of Sukkah Shmirat Tzeres, at the end of Sukkot, whenever your minig is to leave the sukkah, you should take that concept with you that the world is a flimsy place and you need to have that boost of emunah which the sukkah gives you. That's one of the mystical ideas of being inside the sukkah. I know that I'm running, we're running tight on time. We've got to finish up in just a few minutes. But there's one idea I feel as if...
I started late,
but I've got another 5 minutes in there, and then we've got to cut. Then I've got another... I think you're coming up next. Is it you that's next? I think so, yes. I've got a good note there. So it's like this. One more idea, and we'll call it quits. This is... It's a worth coming moment. I think it's a worth coming moment for this idea. If you see the Haftarah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed, quoted Yecheskel, Lamed Ches. Rav Moshe Sternbach has come out, Schlitter, and he has said, did you know for a year, he was giving Shiurim as to what the dinim would be if a tragedy would occur on Simchas Torah. Did you know that? A whole year he was going around giving Shiurim, saying if something terrible would happen on Simchas Torah, what are the dinim? How many hakofs do you need? What about the dinim of Simcha? Can you leave? There are dinim. He was giving it for a full year. He said he knew a tragedy was going to occur on Simchas Torah. He didn't know where or when. But that's why for a full year he was giving me shirim. A full year. How? So I get from, look, this is going to be a year, so it's back a year. So the, for the whole past, for that year, prior to that year he was doing that. Prior. He knew that it was going to happen 2 years ago. So he says like this. He says, Rav Moshe Shtenberg has come out and said as follows. He says, this situation now with Lebanon and with Gaza and Iran will not complete until Mashiach. This is going to culminate with Mashiach. That doesn't necessarily mean imminently, but he does say this will lead up to the Geula Shalema. There will be no other major wars for Israel. This is it now. This is the beginning of the end of the goddess situation. It says this is now going to culminate with Mashiach. Now that could be multiple years. It's a very complicated, very complex situation, and everyone's got their fingers in the pies as to what's going on. This could drag out, but it also could be over relatively quickly. This Haftarah in Yechezkel was all about Gog and Magog. And the craziness that's going to happen, just as this gets, there's going to be earthquakes and nobody knows what's going on and people are going to strike out at each other's brothers. And Hashem, is only he's going to understand what's happening. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, Zocher Tzadik Livracha, says something mamish worth hearing about this idea of Gog and Magog on this area of Yechezkel. He says as follows. In his parish to Yechezkel, he says like this. He says, why is Gog and Magog called Gog and Magog? He says, Gog and Magog is reminiscent of, what's Gog? Is reminiscent of the word Gag. And what does Gag mean? Roof. A Gag is a roof. A Gag is a roof. What's Magog? Magog. From a roof. It's roof and from a roof nations. What's going on? What's going on? Oh, this is my mission. What is the philosophy of a roof? Ever said, you know, people when they build a house, they say, I want a roof over my head. They don't say, I want walls around my sides. They say, I want a roof over my head. Real protection is a roof over their head. That makes sense, right? What is a nation that wants a roof over its head? What it's saying is there's going to be a nation which will arise in a world, and it could be any nation that takes up the candidacy of this. Doesn't have to be a specific nation, as we've learnt out previously in other areas in the Torah. Anyone that's a candidate could be a candidate. That says like this. My relationship with heaven is split by a solid roof. That's the nation of Gag. There's me, there's a roof, and there's God. Very much like Migdal Bovel. You know they were going to make four pillars, says the Medrash. Four towers they're going to make. They're going to spread a chuppah across all four and make a mechitza, like an ahel, in between a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world and say, you can keep Shemaim and we'll keep this planet. That was the plan of Migdal Bovel. That was the plan of the Tower of Babel. So too, Gog is going to be a nation that says, God can keep his heaven, but we're in charge down here. It's none of his business what we do. That's the nation of Gog. An arrogant nation. Other nations which listen to that nation and ascribe to such a foolish philosophy will be called Magog. They're people who go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. The people who join in with Nimrod. Yeah, yeah, I like that idea. I'm in charge of my own destiny. I'm in charge of my own fate. What do we Dafka sit under right here? We sit under Schach. One of the ideas of Schach is that you should be able to look through it and see the stars of heaven. What does that mean? You look through the schach and you should still see your connection with Shemaim. The idea of being a Yid, whoever you are, is no matter what situation you're in the Olam Hazev, the sukkah that you find yourself in, don't think you've severed your connection to Shemaim. I'm sitting under schach. Klal Yisrael is the nation of schach. It's the nation of a thin, fragile membrane between us and Shemayim. But it's still thin enough that we can see the connection and we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still involved in our personal lives. What we're doing by sitting in this sukkah at a time of intense judgment, when the sealing of Yom Kippur is happening now, our books are being reopened, some people stay up all night, some people fast on the Shabbat. You know there's a levush that says you shouldn't even handle money until you finish davening. also almost like a yontif. That's not halacha. It's a levush that brings that. It says some people are but not even to handle physical things until they finish the davening on the Hoshana Rabbah Shacharis. Because it's almost like a yontif. Some people get in a kittel. Because they realize it's like a mini Yom Kippur happening again. And we're dafka sitting under the thinnest of membranes. Because we're the nation that stands for connection to Shemaim, even though we're in a physical world. Other religions will say the only way you get to spirituality is by divorcing from physicality. We say we have to have physicality to be connected to spirituality, and there's no break in it. Others say no, there is no spirituality. Live for the now, live for the material. This is the nation which lives with both. Our roof is thin, and for just 1 week of our lives, we move from our vaulted strong ceilings back to a level where we look and we realize, you know what? Our connection to Shemaim is very, it's not so thickened. It's quite thin. It's good. It means I can still keep it. But the war of Gog and Magog is going to happen against Klal Yisrael from an arrogant nation that believes it has dominance over the physical world, and all those that join him will be Magog. See what's going on here? This is the idea of Gog and Magog. Specifically, this war's going to happen over Sukkos. That war's going to occur over Sukkos. So there are two camps. There's the roof camp, and there's the schach camp. And they're very different views of reality of the universe. And that's going to be the nature of the final war of mankind. Through our observance of this mitzvah, be'ez Hashem, may we be zeicha personally to see the geula shleima of the schach over the Gog, and the building of the Beis Hamikdash and the Sanhedrin b'mehirah v'yameinu. Thank you so, so much. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful kvittel. Be'ez Hashem, you should all be sealed for a good, happy, healthy life. Amen. And it's such a schus that you're here, and you're spending your time late at night. Keser Torah can only be earned by learning at night, because it shows you really mean it. You don't want to go to bed. You're willing to stay up. That's Keser Torah. That's something which is at night. And Be'ez Hashem, it should be a tremendous schus for you, a tremendous schus for Haderech. Thank you very, very much, and I wish you a wonderful and good Yom Tov. Thank you so, so much. Thank you.